If you would, grab your Bibles tonight, go to the book of Rome or book of John, John chapter number 12, and we'll be in verses, I'll read verses 19 to 24, sort of set the stage here. But here we have the Lord, he is in his last week being here on the earth. And with this, we call that week the Passion, and everything that would come into play during that week is, of course, everything the Lord did is important. But when you think about this last week, everything that is being addressed is so vital. You know, when you know you only have a little bit of time, you don't bother with the things that are menial, and you really focus on the important. And so when we think about the Lord's last week, I want to draw your attention here in John chapter 12, verse 19. John 12, verse 19. The Bible says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the whole world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Much fruit. You know, the Lord was about bringing forth fruit. That's why he came. Amen. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Over this summer, we have had a different theme for each month. But this month, we've been looking at unity, and on Sunday nights, we've been looking at unity in mission and the importance of the church being unified in the mission that God has given to us. And here, the Lord is summing up to these believers that he wants there to be much fruit. He wanted there to be fruit. Now, if you go to the verses just previous, we see that the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's coming in, multitudes gather to be able to see the Lord, and they're there, they're taking the palm leaves and palm branches and laying them down, and people are thronging towards the Lord. And these there were Jews that were there, there were Greeks that were there, these Gentiles, and you know, I don't believe that all of them were just casual onlookers. Amen. I think there were some of these that truly wanted to know what is the truth. Yeah. They wanted to know, is this real? You know, in the world that we live, there are a lot of people, they've heard of Jesus. They see the churches. They watch other Christians, but there are people that are wondering, is it real? Is it real? Is this being a follower of Jesus, is it really important? Does it really change a life? And here we find a little phrase in verse number 20. He said, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." We would see Jesus. You know what this world needs? They need to see Jesus.
Amen.
They need to see Jesus. And tonight, that's the title, We Would See Jesus. Father, I do pray that you would help us tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this place, this ministry, the heritage that it has had over these years. And I pray that you would continue to bless and use this ministry and this community, and as they reach not just the Napa area, but as they impact the world around them. And so I pray that you would help all of us to catch a glimpse of your focus, your plan for us. And so help us tonight, please. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. So there are a lot of people who are devout in their worship. This week or Saturday, we've been having a man come to the church. His grandson has been coming on the bus and came with some of our people. And so now Grandpa's coming. And then I met with Grandpa this morning in my office. And Grandma came to the office and I got to talk with her. And they're unsaved. And so Grandpa invited me to go fishing on Saturday. And so I'm going fishing on Saturday, but I'm fishing for more than fish on Saturday. There are people that have been devout in their worship, people that are sincere in worship. There was a lady who I knocked on her door a while back, and I knocked on her door, and she comes to the door, and just as sweet and gracious lady, and I started talking to her about salvation, and she was a Catholic lady, and she was devout Catholic. You know, there are sometimes people will say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." Well, where do you go to church? And I'm Catholic. Okay, where do you go? And they're not even sure. Oh, you know that one over, you know, over, and they're not even sure where it's at. And so they're not really devout, but. But this lady, she did not just go to Mass weekly. She went every day. Every day. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to church every day. I'm there every day, but I don't always want to be. When you think about it, here this lady, she was at Mass every single day. You know, she didn't go to Mass because she didn't want to know God. She didn't go to Mass because she didn't have a desire to know God. She had a sincere desire to know God. And there are people that are worshiping that do not know. They don't have a relationship. They want to have a relationship. And maybe there are times where people think they have a relationship and they're not going about it right. But there are a lot of people who are devout in their worship, but they have yet to get saved. You think about Cornelius. That was the case with him. He was fasting. He was praying. He was devout. Yet he was unsaved. So there are people that were in this group that were really hungry to know. They wanted to know. They were Greeks that they were unsaved, but they were coming. They were watching. They came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They wanted to see Jesus. And that's what the world needs. So several observations tonight. Number one, the Lord is always working. Amen. The Lord is always working. When you think about when you go soul winning, when you work on a bus route, you pass out a gospel tract, the Lord didn't show up when we showed up.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord's already been working.
Amen.
He wants people to get saved far more than what we want people to get saved. I want to see people saved. I want to see people trust the Lord as their Savior, see their life transformed. What a blessing that is. But the Lord, He is always working. The God of heaven wants people to be saved. The Lord who came and died on the cross, He desires for people to be saved. And the Spirit of God is working in hearts. These Gentiles that showed up and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." It wasn't that was just some random thought. God had been working in their life, had been drawing them. And you know what? It took somebody for them to connect with to make that next step. So the Lord is always working. Before Philip ever came into the picture, we see that the Lord had been working in these Gentiles' hearts. They were drawn to worship God.
Amen.
They were drawn to worship God. I've told my testimony in years past, but 1978, I was just a child, was not raised in a Christian home, and the Holy Spirit had been working on my mom. And my mom, she decided that she was wanted to go to church, so she talked to my dad, and then all of us kids had to go as well. And so mom went to the phone book. Now, I'm looking around, and I see many of you who know what a phone book is. For those of you that are a little bit younger, phone book is about that thick. Half of it's yellow, half of it's white. It used to be everywhere. Now everything is on a phone. But she went to the phone book, and she went to church, and then she started in the A's to the Assembly of God, and just found a little church that was not too far from our house. And so we went down to this church, and so we went in, and it was just like Little House on the Prairie. I mean, it was a steep pitched roof. It was wooden benches. There were two sections. And so anyway, we were sitting there, and my mom and dad, I mean, they were not churchgoers, but they were smart. They put my brother, myself, and my cousin in front of them. They didn't let us sit behind them. We were sitting right in front of them. My sister, my mom, and dad sat together. And during that service, the preacher was preaching. I don't remember what any of that was going on. But all of a sudden, some lady stood up in the middle of the service and started making all kinds of weird noises. I had no idea what speaking in tongues was. And then somebody else stood up and started saying how they felt the Spirit of God working in their mouth, and they went to the bathroom, and all their teeth turned to gold. And have no idea. I just remember as a kid looking at my brother and we start busting up. My cousin, my brother, myself, we're busting up, and we are right in reach of Pops's hand, and we get popped in the back of the head. But we walked out of there thinking, if that's what church is, we don't want anything about to do with it. I mean, it was weird. So several years pass, and now I'm 14 years old. I'm a teenager. And the same Holy Spirit's working in my mom's life, drawing her, trying to get her attention. And he wasn't working on me at all. I didn't hear nothing. But the Lord was working in my mom's heart. And here she decided she wanted to go to church. She talks to Pops. Pops said, okay, we'll go to church. And so they said, okay, we're going to church. I said, you can go to church if you want to. I'm not going. And we had a knockdown drag out, and my dad was dad. Amen. And we went. And so anyway, on that Sunday morning, we pulled into the church. She started at the A's. She went back to that same phone book, went to the A's and said, oh no, we're not going to the A's anymore. Went to the B's. And she went from the Assembly of God to the Baptist and found Bethel Baptist Church. And so they said, okay, well, that's where we're going. We got there that Sunday morning, and we were pulling into the church. And Pops looked down, and he said, we're about 5 minutes late. He says, I'm not going in late. We'll come back next week. I said, okay, good. And so we went back home. I got home. I called my brother and said, hey, I'm spending next weekend with you. Because he had already moved out of the house by that point. And so on Friday, I went to spend the weekend with my brother. I came home on Sunday morning, and my mom was gone, my dad was gone, my sister was gone. And about 12:30, they come back into the house, and their hair is all wet. I had no idea what happened. It was like you stop at the pool on your way home from church. And they all got saved. Got saved and baptized that Sunday morning. Well, about 6 o'clock rolls around, and back then church used to start at 7 on Sundays. And so 6 o'clock rolls around, and Pop says, get ready. I said, for what? He said, we're going to church. I said, you already went to church. He said, we're going again. I said, you can go if you want to. I'm not going. We had a knockdown drag out, and I lost. And on that Sunday, I got saved. Amen. That Sunday night, April 23rd, 1983, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. I could not tell you one thing that preacher said. But during that invitation, when an Air Force guy walked up to me and grabbed me by the elbow and said, hey, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? I knew I was not going to heaven. And he walked me forward to the altar, opened up the Bible, And I'm telling you, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And my life was transformed. But you know what? I didn't know that the Spirit of God was already working. But He was. He had been working on Mom. He had been doing what he needed to do to get Mom to listen. She didn't listen very good the first time, but the second time she did. And got us to a place. Our whole family has been saved. And what a blessing, the heritage that has been changed. And now generations that are saved and serving the Lord. What a blessing. But the thing is, the Spirit of God was already working. God is always working. Number two, the Lord is looking for a mouthpiece. The Lord's looking for a mouthpiece. Philip was this mouthpiece. They went to somebody and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They needed somebody. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch with Philip again? Wasn't it ironic that God used that same one? And Philip said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" The world, God wants to use us as a mouthpiece to help communicate the gospel, to help bring people to the Lord. And it works. Aren't you glad somebody shared the gospel with you? Aren't you glad somebody wasn't too shy to share the gospel? I wish I could say that I always share the gospel. I remember one day I was I pulled into a parking lot, and when I pulled in, there was a whole gang of bikers. And I'm not talking about BMW bikes. I'm talking about Harleys. And it was a rough crowd. And I'm getting out of my car. I had to go get something. And the Lord said, "Give them a track." And I'm like, "Lord, they don't want what we have." Don't look at me like that. You do the same thing. And I was like, "Lord, you know, I got so much to do. I got to get things done, and they're not going to listen. They don't want what we have." And I kept on walking, and I walked. I was way out in the middle of this parking lot, and it was a huge store. And so I get all the way up to the doors, and the Holy Spirit is telling me over and over again, "Give them a track, give them a track." And I'm just arguing with the Lord. Finally, I get almost up to the glass doors, and I look up and say, "Okay." People looking around, they probably looking at me like I'm some crazy guy. And I turned around and I went back and I grabbed the gospel track out of my pocket. And I walked up. And as I'm walking up to this gang of guys, I had gotten in enough fights that I knew you don't find the small guy, you find the big guy. And so I found the biggest guy in the group and I walked up to him. And I said, "Hey, out from the church and just giving invitations. And do you know the Lord is your Savior?" And I gave him a gospel track. And that guy was the nicest guy in the world. And we sat there talking. I didn't get to win him to the Lord, but I got to go through the plan of salvation. And everybody else was listening. Amen. You know, God's always working. He's always working, but He needs a mouthpiece. He needs somebody that's just going to say, "Okay, Lord, if You want me to talk to somebody, I'll be that mouthpiece. I want to be who You can use to share the goodness of God." And so the Lord is looking for a mouthpiece here. We see Philip was a mouthpiece. We see Andrew was a mouthpiece. You know what the Lord needed with Moses? He needed a mouthpiece. He wanted him to go and stand before Pharaoh and put his finger in his face and say, "Let my people go." He needed a mouthpiece. He needed a mouthpiece to the lost, but he also needed a mouthpiece to the saved. You know, as a church, we're a body. And the body, when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. You know, we need to be a mouthpiece to help one another. You know, we got to care about the church as well, not just the lost. You know, after somebody is no longer a visitor, they still need to be cared about. Well, how does that happen? We have to be a mouthpiece. We need to be a mouthpiece for the Lord, to care one for another. But here we think about the Lord. He's looking for a mouthpiece. And he used Philip and Andrew here to be those mouthpieces. Thirdly, a soul winner needs another witness. A soul winner needs another witness. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. You know, Jesus sent the 12 out two by two. You know why? Because there is a need of encouragement. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be a soul winner by yourself. You can. But there's something that is just encouraging when you're not by yourself. It's encouraging when you have somebody else that is there. There's safety there. There's accountability there. There's encouragement there. There's mentoring there. Those that have been saved for a period of time, you should be taking somebody that hasn't gone out soul winning. Don't look for the other experienced soul winner. Look for somebody else that's not going soul winning, and you invite them to come with you. You see, there's that mentoring that can take place there, that modeling. Somebody has to show the next generation how to live. That's why it's so important for us to invest in the young people. Investing in the children's ministries, investing in the youth ministries. Why? Because we want to help them to be ready for their run when they are their life, not just right now, but the future. If the Lord tarries His coming, those of us with gray hair or no hair, we're going to be gone. That next generation needs to take it. And we're seeing so many churches that they don't have anybody to hand it off to. And those are the churches that are closing. And it's so important. Now, how are they going to know how to lead church if they're not taught? How are they going to know how to do it unless somebody is helping them? And so that soul winner, having that other witness, having someone that is there alongside, the mission is caught. It's not taught.
That's right.
It's caught. I just know how it has worked in my life. The teaching almost always followed everything else. It was, okay, this is what we do. Okay, I'll do that. And then it was, okay, oh, that's why we do it. It was that, okay, this is how. There was that modeling, that showing. And there is the teaching. I'm not minimizing teaching. I'm just saying that a lot of what we do, it is because of the mentoring, that modeling for those that are coming behind. And the mission is caught. It's caught, not taught. In John 12:21, he said, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Here, what do we have? We have two working together there, Simon, or Philip and Andrew. And then we have Andrew going and finding Simon Peter. So we see these early followers of Jesus were actively bringing other people to Jesus. And you know what? The mission hasn't changed.
That's right.
The mission's the same.
Come on, preacher.
And we just need to continue bringing people to Jesus. In John 1, 35 to 41, again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You know, God was already working. And now Andrew was following John, and soon as he saw Jesus, he followed Christ. And then he brought Peter to Christ. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So Andrew here, as a disciple of John, when he saw Jesus, he left following John and started following the Lord. You know, Paul told, he told the believers in Corinth, be followers together of me as I also follow Christ. But when Christ shows up, man, we're done following anybody else. We're not following another person, and ultimately we're not following a person. Ultimately, we are following the Lord. But here Andrew begins following the Lord, and the results were that he brought his own brother to Christ. You know, and that is part of the mission. It should be continuing that way, that we are doing what we can to bring other people to Christ. The followers of Jesus in the Scripture bring people to Jesus. Amen. And that is still to continue today. If we're following the Lord, we should be bringing somebody to Jesus. Amen. Just think about what happens around a big day. What happens around a big day here? Usually we have more people going out visiting. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And the result of more people going out, you end up having more gospel witnesses going out, more gospel tracts going out, more contacts being made. And with that, the result is you see more people saved. That is just the natural result. The more the believer is engaged, the more believers that are engaged in getting the gospel out, the more people we're going to see saved. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, we just need to choose and decide that we are going to do what we can to be that mouthpiece. And there are other people that want to be a soul winner. Maybe they have been a soul winner for a long time. They need somebody else to go along with them. I don't know about you, but I've been in ministry full time 31 years now. I get tired. I know your pastor, he gets tired. If you are serving, and you're involved in ministry, after a little while, don't you get tired? Yeah, you get tired. You know how much encouragement it is just having another witness coming alongside, somebody else to come join you as you're serving. It just releases some of that pressure, having somebody with you. And so we need more soul winners. That investment, that time, that labor, the prayer, more soul winners, more tracts, more invitations. It equals more in church, more people getting saved, more lives being transformed. So having that other witness. Fourthly, people will come to Jesus if they're invited. People will come to Jesus if they're invited. Now, they might not come the first time. But there's something about that invitation. I mean, I was in church as a 14-year-old teenager, and I was mad that I was in church. I didn't want to be there. And let me just tell you, parents, if your child is upset about coming to church, bring them anyway. Bring them anyway. If Pops would have just said, okay, well, you're not going to have a good attitude about it, just stay home, I would have been lost. Bring them. I was a youth pastor 17 years. Bring them. I didn't want to miss anything. Man, I wanted to be involved. I wanted to know what was going on. There was so much. I mean, it wasn't like all of a sudden I went from a punk teenager, and I was a punk teenager. When I walked into the church, one of the first people I saw was my wife. I was like, wow, she's cute. She wouldn't have anything to do with me. She was a good girl. That was good. She didn't have anything to do with me. I didn't go to church because I wanted to be there. I went because I was made to be there, but I was in the right place. And God can still work. And He did. And the Lord worked in my life. I am so thankful. I'm so thankful that He just keeps on working. He's not done. But people will come to Jesus if they are invited. When we see the faith of others in Scripture, you see that faith being shared. All through the book of Acts. They went door to door, house to house. And just communicating the gospel. And so we need to be inviting and sharing our faith, living our faith in this world. Now, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. And you might even get made fun of for your faith. But that's okay. I worked with a guy when I was in college. And here I was, 22 years old, I was a mechanic. And we had another guy that was on the same shift, and he was in his 50s. And his name was Bob. And Bob was a foul individual. I mean, he was just very coarse, very foul. He knew I was a preacher, going to college, was going to be a pastor. And that's what he always called me, hey, preacher. And it was not a title of respect. It was always a jab. But I had witnessed to Bob on many occasions. And Bob always shut it down, didn't want anything to do with it. He would always try to tell me some dirty joke, and I'd have to stop him. But one day, Bob shows up, and he wanted to talk. And here this 50-year-old man starts asking this 22-year-old kid counsel. And for about 30 minutes, I got to go through the plan of salvation with Bob. Amen. And he listened. Now, he didn't pray right then, but he heard. You know, we don't know who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. But we do know that we should be sharing our faith. And we need to share it in any opportunity that we have. We need to be inviting our coworkers, our family, our neighbors to Christ. If you're going to invite your neighbors to the Lord or to church and try to share the gospel with them, you got to be nice to them. Now, I've had neighbors over the years where I've had to call the police on them. Man, it's rough then when you walk up and knock on the door and try to give them a gospel tract after you've called the cops on them. So anyway, but we need to be trying to reach our neighbors and our those that are around us. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." You know, the Lord looked at the multitudes and it impacted him. It moved him. You know why? Because he cared. If we're not careful, we can get callous. We can go back to the way I was. It's like, Lord, they don't want what we have. He doesn't want to listen. Well, that person, they don't want what we have. Right after COVID finally got over, I'm the chaplain at our sheriff's department. And with that, the jail, all the programs had been shut down. And so the sheriff asked me to be in charge of all the programs. So no program could come into the jail without me approving it. So right now we're in the jail every Sunday morning on the ladies' side having church. On the men's side having church. We have recovery every Monday in the jail. We have Bible studies, discipleship every Thursday for men and ladies. We've got several other churches now that are in. No cults are in there. It's all Christian ministries. That's all that's in there. Lord just sort of gave us that opportunity. But with that, we've had people come. Sunday, we had some people that just got out of jail and they were in church.
Amen.
And gotten saved. I've got another man that's working with one of our men now that he just got out. And he's now trying to get his life. God's working.
Amen.
And we have an opportunity to be a part of it.
Amen.
You know, don't be a spectator. You're in a great church.
Yeah.
Lots going on. You know, there are churches where nothing's going on. And all they have the opportunity to be is a spectator. We have the opportunity to be a participant in God's work. And the Lord's working. He wants to see people saved. He lets us be a part of it. What a wonderful opportunity. These people that were coming to Jesus, these people that were gathering around. They were coming to worship, but they didn't really know who they were worshiping. And they needed somebody to help direct them. Sir, we would see Jesus. You know, we need to be looking for those people right there. I had somebody with me, one of our young men. He's in his 30s, but he had been raised in church, had gotten away from the Lord. And, you know, don't get too down on the parents whose kids go bad. You know, when I think about Adam and Eve, who was Adam's parent? And he went astray. Yeah, it gets quiet. But here, This young man, he's been away from the Lord for 15 years. Now he's coming. He was at Bible study 6:30 in the morning. Every Tuesday I have men's Bible study. And we had 13 men there before they start their day. And he was there Saturday. He went soul winning with me. And as we're out going soul winning, we were knocking on doors. And I told him, I said, you know who we're looking for? I said, we're looking for the person that God's already working in their life. I said, I'm not going to argue. We're not arguing with the cults. We're not going to get sucked into somebody else's arguments and fights. I said, we're looking for the people who the Lord is already working in their life.
Yeah.
You know, we have a great opportunity to serve a great God. And there are people out there that would love to see Jesus, but they need somebody to help them see him. That's our job.
Amen.